This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. A heartfelt welcome to each of you from Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, and printed copies of today's sermon will follow the program. We're thankful you have joined us today and hope you'll continue to tune in every week on this station.
How do Christians live with people who do not like them? We're going to talk about that question in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, when we look into your word, we realize that so often you are far more gracious and merciful than we are. So we pray that we who have been the recipients of your grace may also be the dispensers of it, that we may be anxious to reach out to people and let them know that we love them in spite of anything that might have come our way. Grant, O God, that your Holy Spirit will lead us into the depths of this most interesting story. For Jesus' sake, we ask it. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 9th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning with the 51st verse. At the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus, with a determined will, set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead who went into the Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?" And Jesus said, "You do not know what kind of a spirit you are of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save it." And they went on to another village. The Bible has many stories like this one. And we may ask, why did Luke include this particular story in his gospel? I would suggest two great points that are brought out here. The first one is, this story was written to prove that nothing could hinder the Lord Jesus Christ from going to Jerusalem to atone for the sins of the world when the right time had come. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He had said in the Gospel of Luke 19, verse 10, and now it was time for him to carry it out. And no little village in Samaria would ever interfere with his God-given call. The second lesson, I believe, is a good lesson in everyday living, around the question, how does a Christian live with people who do not like him? So let's take a look at the first lesson, which is the primary lesson. It's the most important one because it is here dealing with people's salvation. Eternity is involved. It was not a pleasure trip that Jesus was going on as he headed into Jerusalem. He was going to suffer. He would be falsely tried by Pontius Pilate. He would be beaten. He would be crucified. The nails would pierce his hands and the sword his side. But it was for this reason that Jesus was sent into this world by his Father, and he was going to carry it out. Now, when the Samaritans tried to make this trip more difficult by not providing him with a place to stay in their village, Jesus didn't argue with him. In fact, if you read the story, he simply went on to another village, and let that be as it is, we could talk about that some other time, he thought. But right now, I got to get on to Jerusalem. But the action of that Samaritan village was somewhat different as far as James and John was concerned. They did not accept the Samaritan's unkindness as graciously as did Jesus. So they suggested, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them? Do you want us to kill that group of people there living? And Jesus rebuked them. Get rid of that anger, that vindictive spirit. This is not of God. I did not come to destroy these people. I came to save them. You must love them, and that means accepting them and their anger towards you and me. Now, that was the first story. And from that, we get a pretty good bird's eye view into how Jesus wants us to live with people who do not necessarily like us. It's a bit of good godly counsel. Love them. Do not live with the spirit of getting even with them if it's the last thing you do. This spirit seems to appear in our lives from almost infancy. Let's take a picture of a couple of little boys in a playpen. Now, they're just a few months old, and they're enjoying some of the toys there when suddenly one takes a hold of the other one and begins to beat him. He's got a toy that boy who's doing the beating wanted, and he didn't like that kid. So finally, the mother came in and separated them. And the one who was doing the first beating just sat there and looked at his innocent party, so to speak, partner, went on playing with another toy. When they got the toys mixed up, this one who had been first beaten grabbed the hammer again, the plastic hammer, thank God, and he began to pound this little fellow. It was a pounding of retaliation. You went after me first, and now I'm going to get even with you. Now, we'll say that one of these little boys lived in this particular home, and the father and mother could see that he was a person who was pretty hot-headed, had a big temper, and he could hold a grudge. So one day, the mother innocently said, well, it's going to be your birthday, and you're going to have a birthday party, aren't you? Oh, I'd love to. And I think we can have about 6 or 7 people here. So who would you like to have? And he began to list them off. But finally he said, you know, Mom, I don't want you to invite Tom. Tom isn't nice to me. Tom does some bad things to me in school. And besides that, when Tom had his birthday not very long ago, I was not invited. And I do not want to invite Tom. Well, this bothered his mother a great deal. And that night she shared it with her husband. And they both decided that they needed to sit down and have a good heart-to-heart talk with their little boy. And so they said, "Now look, Tommy is a nice little boy, and we don't know whether he likes you or not. But that is no reason for you not liking him. You're going to invite Tom. And Tom is coming, and you're going to be nice to him, and Tom is going to leave having had a good time." The little boy who's going to have the birthday party isn't too happy, because more than anything else, he wanted to show some retaliation. "You don't treat me right, and you don't invite me to your birthday party, and I'm not going to invite you." But father and mother said, "No, that is not the way it's going to be." The point of this illustration is to show that when the children are first one, and then when they're six or seven, that same spirit is there. And strange enough, that boy grew up and carried that same spirit. One day in a business transaction, he was, and this is true, he had a cause that he had the facts that justified his believing that this man did not like him. The business dealing went off, and there was nothing that could be done, but this friend who had had the birthday party as a kid realized that he had been beaten out of a lot of money. So he decided, "I'm going to play it cool, but I hate that guy, and I'm going to get even with him." He ignored him in everyday life. He hurt his reputation. He told others what he had done towards him and how he had been guilty of taking some of this man's money, and urged them not to do business with this person. See how that retaliation carried on? From the playpen to childhood to adulthood, there is something inside of us. I call it a part of the original sin. There's something in the part of us that says, "If you don't like me, I won't like you either. If you do bad things for me, just wait. I'll watch my time." It is here that Jesus says we must show kindness to them. You will never solve the feelings you have towards each other by continuing to live with an unforgiving attitude. Just be kind and see what happens. Now the disciples of Jesus, James and John, didn't have that opinion at all. In fact, they were kind of different boys, I think. John finally gets the distinction of being considered the one Jesus loved. But one day, James and John came and said to Jesus, "When you come in your kingdom, may we have the positions, the one on the right and one on the left, as you sit on your throne?" In other words, they wanted to get ahead of the other 10. There was something inside of them that had to be taken care of, and only Jesus could do it. So when he saw that back in their days of training as disciples, Jesus sat down and said, "This is not the Spirit of God. This is not the way that you really live at odds with people. Try my way. It's going to work a whole lot better." That can be so true in our individual lives. Just take a look, friend. And how often have we not carried this idea, I'll get even with you. If it's the last thing I do, I'm going to get even with you. And that's why there are family disputes. That's why there are fights in the church and other parts of society, one after the other. Jesus again says, try my way. Yours will not work. Now I'm going to move to an area that is much more touchy. And in no way am I trying to bring politics into the pulpit. In no way do I present myself as one who knows very much about international politics. Not at all. But there are some things here that stand out that I think it would be good for us to hear as they come via my lips from the lips of Jesus. How do we as a nation live with other nations who do not like us? That's a question that has been asked from the very beginning, and it is being asked today. Psychologists, sociologists, internationalists have looked at it in every way, and we don't have the answer. Had we the answer, we would not be fighting wars all of the time. What is the answer when it comes to Iraq, Afghanistan? Is it to fight? Now, I'm not taking a position either way. I don't know. But I know this, that our attitude towards Iraq and Afghanistan and all others should not be one of retaliation. We must remember we are not guided by Jesus' teachings when we exist that way. Now, I am fully aware that I cannot talk about the United States and its relationship with those who do not like us, considering the United States is a Christian nation. I wish I could say it's a Christian nation, but I certainly agree with our president when he said, no, the United States is not a Christian nation. It is true that the Christian church has more buildings, has more members, without a doubt has more influence than any other religion in the United States, but it still is not a Christian nation. We have been separated from the Word of God by that teaching, the separation of church and state, and so the church cannot say, or the state cannot say, this is what the Word of God says. This would be unconstitutional. But there are still millions of people in this nation of ours who say that they subscribe to Jesus' ethical teachings. Now listen to the way that I say this, who subscribe to Jesus' ethical teachings. Many of these people would not say that they believe that he has suffered and died for the sins of the world, but they are willing to take on this part of Jesus, at least, that no one ever taught morals that were any higher. His code of ethics is the greatest. Well, if that be true, take him as far as you can. I'm sorry that you can't go all the way with him, but take him as far as you can. If you really believe that his ethical teachings are the only way that we can live with people around the world, then I ask you, should they not be heard by the world? If that be true, his voice should be sounded out. And that is done by those who really and truly believe that he is what he says he is. Where we have shown compassion in this world and a desire to help others with no strings attached, is it not there that we meet our best friends on the international front? I raise that as a question because I do not even know how to do the research on that. But I wonder if we don't. I've heard people from certain countries in Europe say, the United States is our friend. No one has befriended us like the United States. And then when you look and see how we have worked together as countries, it seems to show that love and not bullets is the answer to our problems. We have other questions that should be asked. Why do so many dislike us? While you say it's jealousy, and I believe you're right. Sure, when they see us with all of our luxurious kind of living, of course there is jealousy. But dare we ask the question, are there other reasons why they do not love us? And we cannot get at it until we honestly ask them, what is it and what can we do to get over it? Don't get me wrong. I'm not equipped again to give political advice. Now, is that my job at all? However, do we think we can live in this world where hatred is rampant and ignore the voice of Jesus Christ completely? That's where we are, friend. And that's why we're so concerned today. So this is a question for all people of all ages. How do we live with people who do not like us? As for me, I turn to Jesus, who is far more than a moral teacher for me. He is my Savior. He went straight to Jerusalem to die in order that you and I might have the forgiveness of our sins if we will but receive him as Savior and Lord. But he is also my Lord, who lifts me up out of the gloom and doom of the day and gives me answers to questions that are still being asked and will until Jesus Christ reigns as Lord. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you that your word has the truth. Open our ears and open our hearts to understand it. The truth that applied to us when we were little children, carrying out our fits of anger in retaliation. The same sin, O God, that is found in the lives of those of us who are adults, as we try to live in this cruel old world with others. Man who does not love one another and yet, O God, will not turn to you for help. Open their hearts. Homes, O God, where even husbands and wife retaliate. Jesus, speak to us. Give us the answer. Help us to hear you say, "This is not my spirit. I forgave you. I sought no retaliation. And now I ask you to forgive others." Let the words of this text linger long in our hearts. Grant, O Lord, that where people are set aside distressed for one reason or another, right on this very point that you have spoken today, that we may see this as the answer, that you alone can be the answer, for you not only tell us what to do and what not to do, but you give us the power and the strength to do it. We ask your blessings upon those who are sick, the sorrowing, the suffering, and the dying. Come to them, O Lord. May they find their peace in a Savior who loves them. Hear us as together we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
You have been listening to Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray that today's gospel message will fill you with renewed faith in the coming week. Christian Crusaders thanks those who have supported this ministry through their prayers and financial contributions. Your gifts bring the gift of the Word to thousands each week, many of whom cannot leave their homes for worship. To become a broadcast sponsor, please consider a gift of $100 or more, which covers the costs of 1 week's program on the station in which you are listening. Direct your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. We can become new people when Jesus comes into our lives and offers us the gift of forgiveness. Hear Reverend Larson illustrate this through the story of Zacchaeus, the dishonest tax collector whose life was changed when he met Jesus. Consider the story's impact on your own life by viewing A Life is Changed, Volume 2 in Reverend Larson's DVD video sermon collection, Basic Biblical Truths. This DVD is available for a suggested donation of $10 by calling 1-888-693-2484 or by visiting christiancrusaders.org. If you'd like a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 74th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.